Today's reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. This is the word of the Lord.
The discipline of submission. Over the next weeks leading up to Easter, we're looking at what it means to be a disciple of Christ and how we seek discipline to actually have disciplined lives that help us to have a greater focus and engagement with God and his mission for us all. These are not killjoy sermons, but joy-giving sermons for a more fulfilled spiritual life. And I hope that you see that. I mean, some people go, oh, Nick, you know, you can't force me to do training. No, I can't. I'm just going to encourage you. Have you actually exercised your faith and exercised your disciplines of faith? I don't think we talk about this very much in the church at all. Well, today we're going to talk about the discipline of submission. I mean, imagine that. And then next week we're talking about the Sabbath and fasting. After that, we'll talk about the discipline of serving and service. Then reading the word, prayer, and that sixth one, which you're really not going to like very much, the discipline of evangelism. And finally, we get to Easter Day, life being it, and celebrating the good things of life as we are more discipled and disciplined in how we're living our lives. An elite athlete performs the way they do because they are disciplined in the areas of their life. I've got a couple of them in our family clan, a couple of very elite ones. One who's run nationally and internationally in different disciplines. I'm just amazed at how disciplined they have been. You know, I remember saying one afternoon when we were round at their house, I said to my niece, oh, what are you up to this afternoon? She goes, I'm just going down to do two laps of Narrabeen Lakes. I said, isn't that about like 15, 20 kilometres worth all up? She goes, yeah. I said, like, how long is that going to take? Oh, not long. I enjoy it and it's good. And off she went. Yep, discipline. But you know what? It was discipline like that that then took her to the heights of doing what she was able to do nationally and internationally. Not only that, you look at some of the fine musicians. Now, I'm a musician. I'm not like some of the other musicians around. I know how to pick up a guitar, sing a song, and I have fun. And I'm not bad at it. But I've really had to practice finger picking and picking the guitar. And over time, I've got much better at it. And some people have gone, Nick, how do you do that? Well, it was just a lot of practice and a lot of hard work. And I got to tell you that when we went away on 4 or 5 weeks holiday, when I came back, my fingers were not celebrating the good things of holidays. Oh, my fingers hurt so much because they hadn't been on guitar strings for a number of weeks. Well, disciplines bring out our best. sometimes even better than we could ever believe we could ever achieve as we partner with God in life together. And disciplines come in two forms. The first is an abstinence form of discipline. That's solitude, silence, fasting, Sabbath, secrecy. That's not telling of your works, not being a secret person who lives this mysterious life. And then there's submission, which we're looking at today. The second type of discipline is the engagement ones. They're things like the Bible reading, the prayer, worship, soul friendships, and personal reflection, and service and evangelism. Are you worried yet? Because there's lots. I could keep going after Easter, but I dare not. I dare not. I want to get back into Mark's gospel. The Amplified Bible sometimes is a really good version to read because it just adds a little bit of extras in there to tease our thoughts a bit. And so it says this in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either they will hate one and love the other, or they'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is, money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. You see, the Amplified Bible, it starts naming a few of those things, yeah? And whatever's more important than, well, the Lord. See, submission to God is a discipline of abstinence because it's about denying ourselves the power or privilege we want in our lives from our society physically to control our lives today. And we're choosing not to make things happen for ourselves and not to control people or situations, even if we can, but instead to come under the Lord's authority or God's authority with His wisdom and His power, influencing the decisions that we have. And this includes actually submitting to others in leadership. And we've got to be able to do this. You know, there are times when others are more gifted and talented and God has put them into leadership roles in certain areas of ministry or mission in the church. And we just got to submit to it and just say, you lead, brother or sister. You go for it. We're not here to support you in it. Jesus actually submitted to God's will. And how did he do the wonderful things he did? Well, he preached with charm and brilliance. He ministered to the down and out and also to the up and in. He healed people left and right, and he apprenticed himself to himself whoever came to him. See, Jesus explains his actions. I can do nothing by myself, but only what I see the Father doing. And that's from John 6 and John 12. He says basically those things. You know, I can do nothing by myself because Jesus submitted to God's authority here on earth. Have you ever considered the cross? And, well, that's where we're heading, isn't it? And how Jesus submitted to God's will on all the way to the cross and then to life eternal for every one of us. When we bring prayer, fasting, submission, serving, evangelism, resting and reading the scriptures together, then this kind of Christ-like servanthood becomes a given. So when we start using all these different areas of the disciplines of our faith together, it actually makes us more fulfilled. And we just naturally find that we become more servant-like. When we don't, we actually become more arrogant and egotistical. Just a thought, because we're actually keeping ourselves. That's why I'm starting with submission, because all the other ones come from the point of submission. Peter learned it the hard way, didn't he, hey? And a couple of weeks back, we heard about Peter's mother-in-law, and well, Peter's wife partnered with Peter in his ministry wherever he went. And I think that Jesus was happy that Peter had a wife and a mother-in-law because then there was a threefold kind of Peter, what are you doing? maybe that's why his actions changed so much over time. His early years were actually filled with arrogant and foolish mistakes and the kind of buffoonery kind of comments from time to time. Peter learned well Jesus' humble way of the cross. And then he learned how to step down into greatness. Into the leadership of the new church. And we see his humble love for the Lord, for God, just worked out in Acts as he submits to James. He actually submits to Paul and the civil authorities and others. And you remember the Gentile Pentecost, he wasn't for it. And then all of a sudden, he submits as he sees the Gentile Pentecost take hold and the Spirit fills the lives of those who came from other faiths' backgrounds. You know, sometimes we have to abandon our outcomes to God, and that's what Peter did. Some of us don't. Some of us have a bit of a passive-aggressive nature, yeah? And passive-aggressiveness is basically a disorder that appears that the person agrees to go and do something. However, they'll not change their desired outcome. If they think, no, I'm not going to do it, then they won't do it. And I wonder whether sometimes our Christian lives are a little bit like that. Oh, yes, God, I'll submit to you. I'll yield to you. No, I won't. See, what agendas do we bring to meetings and to home groups, to church mission? Do we have a desired outcome, and is it God's as well? See, submission as a discipline checks this at the door. It checks our ego at the door. It checks our control over things at the door. Submission starts from our heart, yeah? Transformation is from the inside out. And the disciplines that we have lead us to transformation of mind and soul and our heart. It leads to changes of actions, changes of attitudes. It's just a beautiful thing. Don't try and change your actions if your heart and your head's not on board. See, the tail can't wag the dog. So if you just try and do your actions, you're going to get caught out. People are going to call you phony and fake. But if you actually change your attitudes and discipline yourself into the areas that need discipline, then I think you'll actually find that people will find you real and genuine. You know, you might here's some really stark info. George Gallup, Morgan Gallup polls we're best known for, but George Gallup, he's an American pollster. And he was addressing a national seminar of the Southern Baptist leaders somewhere around about 2010. And he said, we find there is very little difference in the ethical behaviour between churchgoers and those that are not actively religious. The levels of lying, cheating and stealing are remarkably similar in both groups. Now just consider, this is about 14, 15 years ago. 8 out of 10 Americans considered themselves Christian, Gallup said, yet only about half of them could identify the person who gave the Sermon on the Mount, and fewer still could recall 5 of the 10 commandments. Only 2 in 10 said they would be willing to suffer in some way, shape or form, be it verbal or otherwise, for their faith. Yeah. And we wonder why the gospel is so impotent sometimes, huh? Paul starts Galatians' letter like this. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or God? Or am I trying to please people? See, if I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, he was a tad cranky that the Galatians had dropped their standards and just seemed to want to go with the flow with no discipline. And then they thought, well, Paul, you're just trying to, you know, please people by what you're saying. And he actually said, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to serve God in all that I do. And he said, and he's actually saying, you know, when I lived and breathed among you, when I did ministry, when others came and lived and breathed ministry among you, did they need to, you know, were they trying to please themselves? Were they trying to uphold themselves? Or were they bringing God's word to you? Oh, I don't think it was just the Galatians. Oh, no, no, no. 1 Corinthians, the cranky book. And Paul actually says, basically, in 1 Corinthians, it's not about your external religious acts. It's about how we submit our lives to a calling of love, hope, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, how we discipline ourselves, how we serve in love, how we're not exclusive, how we submit ourselves to the authority of God and not try and make people our servants. Paul actually uses a term, and basically the more he knows God, he says he moves from being a servant to a bondservant and then to a slave. The more, the closer he becomes to God, the more he moves from being a servant to a bondservant, and then from a bondservant to a slave. But submission, brothers and sisters, is not easy. Yielding our lives to God is not easy. God does not call us to only do the easy things and go to the nice places. God has desires that are pure, and ours are not. And you know what? God plans and his picture is huge and ours is limited. And I got to say, we experienced this in our lives when we went to Perth. We couldn't see what good would come out of going to Perth for us. We just knew that God was calling us there and we were faithful, so off we went. And it transformed my wife's work so brilliantly. She became the breast sonographer working in cancer care and cancer diagnosis that she is today. Wow. You know, God led us there, and she would never have been able to get into that field had she not gone to Perth. So God knew that me going to Perth was going to get equipping for my wife as well. He's good, isn't he? How good is that? But do not take this call lightly. Check it, confirm it, pray, fast, read over the Bible about it, submit to God's outcomes as ever known as they may be, and just hold firm that God is with you. We got to sometimes spend time mining for God's gold, though. In life, mining for gold or even panning for it is not always easy, but the rewards are great. I remember reading an article about a guy, and he said, the thing I hate about gold mining or gold panning is you have to bend over to actually get anything good. That's right, he had to actually stoop to get anything good. But it was by doing that stooping and bending over and actually putting himself out that he was able to get some rewards. And then I think about it that in our Christian lives, it's a bit like a marathon. You know, the Bible refers to our life as a marathon. But I've got to tell you, if I told you that I was going to go run in the city to surf this year that's on in the middle of August, and I never trained for it, and then I went out and tried to do it, I'd run about 100 metres, maybe 200, and then I'd fall apart in a screaming heap. I'd probably walk the rest of the race, running a little bit here, running a bit there, and I'd finish it, and I'd be so sore, and I'd be so disheartened. And I'd actually feel pretty let down by my own self. But you know what? If today I started training and I started doing a kilometre or two every day of running or walking fast, by the time I got to August, the run of 13 kilometres might actually be quite achievable to do the whole thing without stopping. Just a little bit of discipline, a little bit of getting into it, hey? Well, there are questions about submission and how to submit in our lives. The first question is this. Is this God's will or my easy way of showing I am a Christian? Remember, submission is an abstaining form of our own view as dominant. So we've got to take our view as dominant and put it aside and say, God, what is your view into this situation? Number two, is it just easier to get into these boots and all or spend 2 or 3 months in prayer or maybe 2 or 3 years in prayer? Because, see, sometimes we just want to jump in boots and all and make it look like we've got all the goods happening, but all the goods happening is not always what it needs to be. You know, at our church, we've started up a play group and we started up Let's Chat in English. Both of them had probably nearly 6 to 12 months worth of prayer and discussions and just working out how it was best going to work. And then the right season came along and it just started naturally and they've blossomed beautifully. It's great. But if we just jumped in boots and all, I suspect we would have got disheartened. Number three, does this align with the scriptures? Is it this submission, is it aligning with the scriptures and God's mission in this place? See, it may seem like an awesome idea, but it may actually not be biblical or in the direction that the church wants to take at this time. The fourth thing about submission, you know, and that's part of church leadership. You've got to take some of this stuff to the church leadership if you're not in the leadership areas. Number four, has God called me to lead this that he's put on my heart, or has he called me to support others who are called to lead it? Oh, this is an important one. Some people are natural leaders. And I used to have this problem earlier in life. I just want to get in and just lead. You know, somebody come up with an idea and I go, yep, let's go and do it. But see, sometimes it's not my role to go and lead those areas. Sometimes God's equipped and got the right person already there. And he's given them the vision for how it's meant to look. So I need to actually submit. Even as the minister, I need to submit to someone else's call sometimes. I'm okay with it. I think it's a good thing. Number five, does this give glory to God or give glory to me? This is the ego checker and the one that is probably the hardest one. With God, you're calling me to do something here. Well, I just want to submit to you. Is this about me trying to look good in the church? The discipline of submission. In our church, we submit to a higher authority and it is God. He is the ruler over all, king of all. We vote and actually set aside leadership team in our church, a church council, who have felt called to lead us. And so we need to submit to their decisions. Sometimes the church council makes decisions that some people are challenged with. And people ring me up, why'd they make this decision? Well, as a body of people who you elected, that's where they felt called. And then someone will say, well, I didn't think that's the right idea. Well, were you called to leadership? Well, no. Then just submit to it. Let's see where it's going. We do not resist submission to leadership because of someone's age, someone's gender, someone's path faith journey, someone's social standing or more. And this is why I love our Uniting Church. You know, man or woman, person of non-English speaking background, person of Anglo background. We can all be leaders, young, old, doesn't matter. In submitting ourselves to God, we see a humble servant leadership as the most empowered, and the gifts using and the gifting as using a way of living our lives of faith together here in this place. And it's a beautiful thing. In Matthew 6, remember, what did it say? You can't serve two masters. So we ultimately have to make a choice as to how we live our lives and serve the Lord. It's not always easy, but look around. We're all in this together. So, if we're all in this together, let's learn how we can serve each other in our lives and enthrone Him, Jesus Christ, the Servant King. This week, may you take some quiet, personal, reflective time to sit with God and ask Him, "Hey God, am I resisting you? And if so, how can we change this together?" And then, the most beautiful thing is, I'll know He'll love to hear your voice, and He'll engage you in that question. And maybe He'll stir you to love and good deeds in ways which you never thought was possible. Submit to the Lord, and may your lives be blessed. Amen.